That'd have been like a calf exercise if I had stayed on my tiptoes the whole time. I'm not very tall. Anyway, thanks, Brian and worship team. That was a big deal. There's something about worship that is just so precious to God and just so overwhelming to Him, because that's how we now offer our sacrifice to Him. I don't know, it's kind of an interesting thing to look at, is that worship replaces that animal sacrifice, because we are bringing Him everything that we have, and we're supposed to pour it out into what it is that we're giving Him. I'm not sure what's going on. Does it sound like I'm in and out? That's the effect I was going for. So we're good. All right. I'm sorry ahead of time. I'm not apologizing for who I am, just how you're going to take it. that's just it. I don't even know how to adjust this thing, so we're gonna make everything work, because at this point now I'm just being silly. I really believe in the Bible. I think that it is one of the most wonderful things. I like books a lot. We'll get to all of that here in a bit, I think. I've been praying and praying and praying and then praying some more and just asking God to be here, right here where I am. So hopefully it doesn't look like I didn't prepare. It looks like God is just speaking through me, because I really have been desiring that more than anything. Yes, I've been preparing. I had a dream that I'll get to share with you here in a minute as well. But it's one of those things where God has something for each and every one of us to hear. And He has something for me to say, but what you're hearing is what He wants you to hear, and what I'm saying is what He wants me to hear. So just make this a personal time. You know, just as worship is that personal sacrifice, that personal offering to God, make this a time where you're getting food from God, not from me. Don't take what I say as gospel, okay? Because God wrote the gospel. Like, it's an inspired word by Him, and I'm not going to rewrite that. I'm not even going to try to, because I can't spell, for one thing. And it would be an undertaking that I am not going to do, because God did such a great job in the first place. So speaking of the gospel, segue, we're going to go over here to John chapter 10, and this is actually, and by 10 I mean 7, 10, 7. This was actually, I was praying like just before we started doing all of these things, and I was like, okay, God, what do you want? Like, where should I start? I know where you want me to go, I know what you want me to say, kind of. But what's gonna open us up to that? So here in John 10:7, Jesus therefore said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That's a big deal. That was Jesus talking, and talking about laying his life down for his sheep, and that's us. If you don't get anything else from what I say, know that you are the sheep that the shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus, lays his life down for. God, we just thank you for bringing us here. And Lord, we just thank you for the words that you're going to speak. Lord, that you're going to just go through with each one of us, Lord, the messages that you would like us to hear. And Lord, for the things that you want us to cling on to. Let this not just be a today thing. Let it not be until tomorrow afternoon when we get to the buffet or whatever it is that we're going to eat. Lord, let us not worry about that. Let us worry about our relationship with you. And let it become more of just a dramatic turnover, God, so that people would know that there is something different, Lord. And I just ask that you would continue to bless this night as it's already been blessed. And Lord, that you would continue to bring about the change that you would like to see in your people. In Jesus' name. So my name is Beth Campbell. And that's great. And I'm a very silly person, and I apologize for all of that. But I love Marian Christian Center. I love Centerline. I love its people. I love its purpose. I love its calling, its principles, its good stuff, its bad stuff. I love everything about it because it's in this place where I encountered God for the first real time. You know, you hear God and you run into him in different places and you're like, oh, okay, that's nice. You know, when he like throws a rock at your head or something like that, you're like, okay, I don't know what that was, but it was something bigger than me. And then when God reveals himself to you, it just changes everything. And that's what I found here at Marian Christian Center and also Centerline. It was 2 and some years ago, and I am getting ahead of myself. Let's back up here. English majors don't know how to speak in public. Just kidding. You ever have God just slow you down right in the middle of saying something? Like, he's like, stop. You'll get there. Just hang on. This is kind of a difficult thing to share because it's actually the whole story. And I've told a lot of people my story, but I don't think I've ever actually shared the whole thing. And God wanted me to do that. So, you love me now, and you'll still love me, right? Because you're supposed to. That's what God said to do. So before we go much further, I graduated from The Ohio State University this past December in 2013, finally, with a bachelor's degree in English. No, I'm not a teacher. Okay, bachelor's degree in English means I can do lots of stuff, not just teach. If any knowledge is imparted to you from me, that's between you and God, and I'm really happy for you on that. Daryl, who's wonderful. We're getting married in October, which is like 85 days or so from now. So you should start Christmas shopping because October, November, December, it's coming. God has provided an absolutely wonderful house for us. I was going to send Angie a picture of Oscar. If you haven't met Oscar, he's this big orange fluffy cat that kind of looks like Garfield. That's my cat. And he and I live in this house now that God has just provided for us. And if you don't know that story, it's amazing. God just threw open the doors and the floodgates and just made everything possible where it was. So Oscar and I live there now, and Daryl will move in later. I'm glad when this is over. I mean, I'm really enjoying the process, but if you've ever gotten married and planned your own wedding and said, I'm going to do it all myself, talk to people who have done it so that they can tell you how many hours that actually means. anyway, so I really enjoy theater. You can't tell by my stage presence now, but I don't enjoy drama, just theater. There's a big difference between drama and theater. I grew up in the church, okay? I went to a non-denominational church, and my grandfather was a minister, which basically meant if the doors were open, we were there, and we had keys, we knew the codes, the whole nine yards. I learned a lot during that time. You kind of have to. And I learned a lot of rules. I learned a lot of regulations. And I also learned how important this book was. Of all of the things that my childhood taught me, it's that the Bible is like a lifeguard that you get to take with you. You know, it's just a great thing. But it would be years later, and we'll get there, when I would realize just what was missing from all of that. The world, though it was broken and I was living in it, you know, we can't really escape that human element where we actually live in the world. It was just some unknown entity. Like, I would go out my door and it was all sunshine and rainbows and unicorns and snails and, like, wonderful things. And, yeah, snails. It's cool. And then, you know, you would hear about bad things happening on the TV and you could just turn the channel. So it's like, oh, okay, my life is good. And it was just awful. And my life maybe was a little rocky. You know, I come from a broken marriage. My mom and my dad, they didn't make it, but they're both so much happier now. So it's like, okay, we're good. I can get through that. And in 2008, I was 19 years old, and I knew everything. Everything that a person could know, I knew. Like, ask me a question. I got this. No problem. I had just finished my freshman year of freshman year of college, And so that means that you know all kinds of stuff, because not only did you know everything from when you were 18, now you've got a year of college under your belt, so what you didn't know before, you know now. Being an expert in all things and being a minister's granddaughter, what you do when you are young and you grow up in the church is you get married to your high school sweetheart. And so that's what I did. Yep. So we're going to flash forward through all of that, because that's a really long story. And it's now 2010. My divorce is finalized. And I've been living with another guy for about 3 months or so at this point. My brother graduated from high school, and I pretend that though everything about me is wrong, that I belong around this positive stuff. You ever get into those situations where even though you know what you're doing is bad, you just go in through that denial and those motions of life, and you say, hey, family, I'm good. How are you doing? I'm good. Everything's good. But it wasn't. And I wouldn't know that until later. We're going to flash forward again, though. It's 2011. The guy I was with then, he didn't work out either. So here I am facing all of this rejection and all of this terrible stuff. But I still know everything, right? On my own, I know everything. And I'm not willing to accept defeat, just that maybe these guys weren't right for me, because I'm awesome. Okay, and I know things. So there's something wrong with them. So I'm just going to get out of this situation. So I lived in a camper in my parents' driveway from, I'm not joking, it was like a pop-up camper, and it was like old, okay? Old. Like, it was all, like, just old. I can't even, there's no other way. The sides would, like, cave in the middle of the night, so I would wake up and, like, have to fix the camper before I could go outside. And it was a pop-up camper, so there's not a restroom in there. And I, on a personal note, when I wake up in the morning, I need the restroom. Okay? So you're trying to fix the wall where the door is, and there might be a raccoon on the other side of the camper, and I've just got to go. I need to get out of there. It's a bad place. So I lived in that until it was too cold, which was like November, just before Thanksgiving, and they wanted to put the camper down for the winter. And I was like, well, okay, so we moved the couch that was in the living room at my parents' house. We moved it forward and put room dividers in there, and I put an air mattress in and like a nightstand and a desk and all of these other things. I don't know how it all fit. And that was my world. I don't know. So I worked at Buffalo Wild Wings here in Marion, which is a great place, and I also worked at Dollar Tree at that time. So I would get off work at, I would be home from work at 2 o'clock in the morning from B-dubs, and then I would have to be back at work at 4 o'clock in the morning at Dollar Tree. That's two hours. And I had to sleep on this air mattress that I would have to inflate when I got home, because it wasn't a good one, but it was bed. And then that was when I was going to two different campuses here in Marion and Mansfield, and then I would start the day over again. And I'm still thinking, I've got this. If I can get through this, and if I can do this on my own, I can do anything on my own. Because this is, people don't have to go through this. This is the worst it could possibly get, right? What you know when you're, you know, young. But then I decided, well, this is a really bad situation. I'm kind of over this living with my parents thing. I want to do what I want to do. So I'm going to move in with this guy. Got it right this time, okay? He's a gem. He's a real peach. And I can say that now. Yep. So we're going to flash forward again. It's 2012. And, you know, I told you two and a half years ago is when I encountered God for the first real time here. So it's 2012. This guy, too, was also really controlling. He was a user. And at a certain point, I had had enough. And I think it was around then that I realized something is really wrong here. That's three strikes, okay? So it must be me. So I had kind of given up on everything. You know, I knew that I didn't know as much as I thought I did. I knew that there was something wrong with me because I can't keep a relationship. There was something wrong with the way that I was doing things. And there was no possible way for me to make that right. Because even though I grew up with God, God doesn't want me. I have gone so far away from everything that he had planned for me. Like, he wanted me to stay married in the first place. He wanted me to then make it right with the next guy and the next guy. And he wanted me to do great things. And all I'm doing is failing. And then, you know, a little while after guy number three, I was like, I don't feel right. So I took a pregnancy test, and it was positive. And I was like, oh, great. Now what am I going to do? The dreams that I had started to develop, the things that I had said, you know what, I'm going to do this. I am going to hike that Appalachian Trail. I'm going to go to Africa, and I'm going to change lives. And, you know, I'm going to learn all these different languages, and I'm just going to be a great person. Well, the strip says positive. Now what do I do? And I'm not going to stand here and justify abortion. I'm not. It's something that I'm going to have to live with for the rest of my life. Okay? But I do want to say, church, here in Marian Christian Center, listening online, people that are going to be talked to about this, another thing that I would like for you to take away is if you're going to say we love you, then love people. Do not judge them before you know them. You can love the sinner and hate the sin. You can be against something without alienating someone. When I walked in this door, and you know, I'm glad they took it down, but you know, it was right after that when I was starting to come back to churches, there was like all of this stuff everywhere about how you're going to hell if you've had an abortion. Why even try if you've had an abortion? I'm like, really? What? I'm only 23. I'm done? And then I came to Marian Christian Center. And more importantly, I gave my life back to God. I said, okay, I can't do this. I have failed in every possible way that a person can fail at this point. Nothing about me personally is good. So God, take this crap that's left and do something with it. And when you say something like that, and you really, really mean it, God's going to do it. And you just better grab a hold tight because he's going, and he's going to bring you up out of it. Thank you guys for still loving me. As a church, we must demonstrate if the words we speak and the actions we take show his love or alienate those in need. Because that's the point of the church, isn't it? We're supposed to be the open arms. We're supposed to be that voice calling out and saying, we found the Messiah. He's here. Come experience his love. Come feel how he can change your life. But do we actually do that? I'm not saying go out and, you know, start funding these clinics and stuff like that. But find these women. Find these men. Find these families that are now impacted and changed forever. Because, you know, every Mother's Day that rolls around, every two-year-old that I see, and as they grow, how much harder is it going to be, you know? But God makes all things possible. He takes every single situation that we're in, and he changes it. Because he didn't want us to fail. He never intended that. But he did give us free will, and he gave us that choice where we can say, yes, God. Or we can say, no, God. Either way, it's going to be rough. Either way, there's going to be days where you're like, not today, God. Or, I need you, God. It's not going to be a perfect rosy path. It's not going to be a completely cleared trail that's got, you know, cement down and everything. Sometimes you're going to have to blaze that trail yourself. But if you let God go before you, he's going to take his sword through, and he's just going to bushwhack the whole thing, and you're going to make it. I like hiking, too. So at some point, it became 2014, you know, just like that. I thought I was going to dwell in this shame forever. Oh Lord, how can you use me? Such a sinner. All of these different things, but God's like, you know what? Let's go. You've got a story to tell and you've got people to tell it to. Okay. So the first calling I heard on my life was that God said, you're supposed to help people. I said, how? Nothing. Sometimes God just gives you a little piece here and a little piece there and then one over there. And they're on the wrong side of the puzzle. You know, you get a corner piece And then you get that middle piece that doesn't go with anything, and it might be for another puzzle, you think. Like, I don't think this is the right color. The back of it's white and the rest of it's brown. You got to make it work, because God gives you stuff to make work. You know, he gives you things to do, and he says, I'm going to give you some tools. Learn how to use them, because I'm going to have you use them. So now I work for Habitat for Humanity, which is an amazing thing. This lovely water bottle can be yours if you come out and volunteer on our construction site. It's a really nice water bottle. See, watch this. That is tasty. That is tasty. I'm the volunteer coordinator is why that came up. Right. And I also work down the hall there here at Marian Christian Center. I am one of the administrative assistants, which is a better way to say that, I suppose. I have the lovely task of doing whatever Josh doesn't do. No, I'm just kidding. Basically, pastors say, hey, we have a lot of stuff we would like for you guys to do. And, you know, it's all good stuff. And so we try and get as much of it done as we can while also having the opportunity where if someone walks through the door, if someone calls, we can pray for them. That's a big deal. You don't get to do that every day of your life and every job that you have. But God. If you bring God into the workplace, he's going to be in the workplace. All it takes is one. All it takes is one person to say, you know what? I'm going to pray before I start my day. I'm going to read on my lunch break. Read the Bible on my lunch break, not just a devotional. All it takes is one person to say, you know what? This far and no further. My workplace is going to be a holy place. Because if you take it with you every day, it starts to become a little bit easier. You don't find yourself in these really awkward situations. And I was praying about what I was supposed to share and what I was supposed to do, and now that you've got my story, most of the story. There's so many. Anyway, there's a lot more that could be said, because each one of us has a story that's as long as our lives. But, you know, every day, right? Thank you. Thank you for getting that. You know, I don't want to spend the next 25 years telling you about the first 25, because then after that, it's like, well, and then I spent all that time telling you about my story. It's one of those loops where you just keep on going. Anyway. So I was praying. I was like, God, what do you want me to share? What do you want me to do? And he has been making me write. And I'm like, God, I graduated with my degree. I don't want to write anymore. I don't want to read. I don't want to study. I just want you to tell me good things about myself. God, just show me how great I am and different stuff like that. That's seriously, I've prayed that before. And I'm not going to call you a liar, but if you've never prayed that before, I don't know if I can believe you anymore. Sometimes we just need God to say, yeah, you're good. You're a good person. Thank you, Ron. Ron's a good person. Everyone's prayed that prayer. Because sometimes you have bad days and you're like, God, just show me how great I am. Please show me that I'm on your path. Show me that the things that I'm doing with my life are what you want me to do. And so I prayed that, and he said, you know, I told you to help people. Now I want you to encourage people. So you think helping people and encouraging people are the same thing, right? Nope. Encouraging people means that you find people where they are, you invest yourself in them, and then you help them become better and closer to God. So that's where we are now in my life. And something that I did take out of the Ohio State University was this concept. It's called found poetry. Anybody know what I'm talking about? No? Yeah? Well, Ron does, because I told him. That's cheating. Yes. It's an amazing thing, and I really encourage you all to do this. Before we started tonight, we kind of prayed, you know, that we would start getting back on that center line. You know, that we would start, what is Jesus to me? What am I going to do with Jesus? Am I going to put him in a box and say, yes, you came, you loved, you died, you rose, you're coming back. That's it. That's all Jesus is. Are we going to do that, or are we going to say, hey, Jesus, what's up? What are you doing? Where are you going? Can I come? If you ask Jesus if you can come, the answer is always going to be yes. That's one place where you're not going to find rejection, which is awesome. Anyway, found poetry is this amazing, amazing thing. You take a book, for instance, the Bible, and you read it. Read my Bible. I have an app for that. I don't need to read it, right? Read your Bible. That's all I've got to say there. You read your Bible, or different parts of it, and you can even do this by saying, hey, God, what do you want me to read? And he'll tell you, and it's awesome. So you just open it up, and you start reading around, saying, like, nope, that's no good. And you pray, Lord, what do you want me to get from this? Has anyone ever done that, where you open your Bible, start reading, and say, what do you want me to get from this? If he highlights something for you, how you do found poetry is you write it down. You write down the verse, you know, the book, chapter, and verse, and you write down the verse. And then you close your Bible, and then you open it again and say, God, what do you want? Why I'm sharing this is because that's been one of the biggest things that I've written. Found poetry is a way to share a news story. And it's also, it's 8:45. Those of you with young children, please gather them at this time. Thank you. We love children. We also love when you get them, so that's good. Lost it. Thanks, Angie. Found poetry. See, found it. Gotcha. It takes a village to preach a sermon. Something like that. No, found poetry is just one of those things where you're telling a news story, but you're also giving honor to the original text. So I prayed and I said, God, what do you want to share with Centerline? What do you want here? And if you have a minute, which I have a microphone, so you do, I'm really sorry. I'm just all over the place. We're going to share this. Daryl's used to it, but I don't know if everybody else is. I'm not going to give you the verses that they're in. I do have them. If something just really hits you and you're like, yes, that's going to be my new verse. That's going to be my new line. You know, do that. But if you don't find something, I really encourage you to just go home, get your Bible, your app, whatever it is that your Bible's on, and just pray and say, God, lead me to the things that you would have me know. Because that's what this is all about, isn't it? I mean, God is good, and he's not giving up on any of us. He has given us new life. And he's also given us so many lessons, so many things that can help us every day, that it's almost complete foolishness to disregard what he has already said and to try and find the different things that he wants to say. So I'm just going to read this. I'm serious. I told you how I did this, right? And this is what God shared with me. For the Lord will not abandon his people on account of his great name, because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for himself. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. Do not fear. These are the things which you should do. Speak the truth to one another. Judge with truth and judgment for peace in your gates. Also, let none of you devise evil in your heart against another. And do not love perjury, for all these things I hate, declares the Lord. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. Ask rain from the Lord at the time of spring rain, the Lord who makes the storm clouds, and he will give them showers of rain. For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow. Tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. From my distress, I called to the Lord. The Lord answered me and sent me into a large place. The Lord is for me, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall look with satisfaction on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. Or if we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you might be also. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come to me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. But he answered them, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments. I really just want to encourage you to not just be a Christian on Sunday, because God's not just God on Sunday. God is God every single day, and he has different things for you to do in your life every single day. There's a person, there's a place, there's something that you're supposed to do and somewhere you're supposed to go every day of your life. If you call to God and he answers you, do what he says to do. If you call to God and he doesn't answer to you, don't stop calling. Because if you ask for rain in the time of rain, when God has designated the time for rain, he's going to make it rain. If you ask for God in the time for rain and you think it's time for rain and it's not going to happen. But he's going to use those different things that you go through in your life for good. You have to let him use those things in your life for good. Otherwise, you're just going to be in this downward spiral of there's no hope, there's no peace, there's nothing for me here. And while that's true, there's nothing for us here in this life. We are eternal beings. Each one of us is going to be judged according to the actions that we take here in this world. Because God is a God of love. But when he calls, we need to answer. If you love me, you will keep my command, says the Lord. I just encourage each one of you today to maybe take a minute, just right now, I think, before we start praying. If you want to spread out, that's perfectly fine. I think so many times we get sucked into, am I wearing the right thing? Am I doing the right thing? Do I look like the right person? That we forget that God sees you as he created you. He is the only one that cares in the end. He's the only one that knows the whole story from the time the sun was given light to the end of eternity. He's the only one that you need to worry about. So if we could just take a minute, and you could ask maybe if you have your Bible with you, you could kind of flip through there. Just find something. Ask God to show you. What am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? How can you use this, God? Don't you know my shame? Sometimes we have to. Sometimes you have to scream out to God. Because in this whole world, he's for you. Go, Rafe, go. Oh, just kidding. Yes. See, just like that. Because God has a plan for every life that's here. But you have to be willing to be caught. See how we use that. You have to be willing to be caught, so you have to start looking for the one who would capture your heart. So if we could just take a minute, just some personal time. I don't know if you guys want to turn up the music or if you guys want to continue to play some music. We're going to transition into just a reflective time, because I really feel tonight is a catalyst, a springboard for us to look at and see, God, you didn't give up on me. Why am I giving up on you? What area of your life have you not given over to God? What area of your life are you not giving to God? Why not? He's the Alpha, he's the Omega, he's the beginning of the end. He is everything. He wants nothing but good for each one of us, and he wants to use every situation that we're in for good. So just say, God, here's my crap. Here's all that's left of me. Here's everything that remains after I've been broken and beaten by this world. Please use it. And then let him use it. I just thank you, God, for being here tonight. And I thank you, Lord, for each one of us, that we all have our issues and we all have our drama, but Lord, that you love us more than anything. And God, that you would have sent Jesus just for me, just for each person that's here. And God, I just thank you for that. I thank you for your love, that you're not done with any of us here in this room. Lord, that you're not done with any of us here on this earth. If you were done, you would have came back for us. So there's still work to do. And God, I just ask that you would continue to bless each one, Lord, as we hear this message. And Lord, as we continue to seek you, but Lord, even with a new fervor, God, that we would just forgive ourselves, Lord, so that you can work in us. Lord, that you would be able to restore us in such a way that our stories would be amazing to those who hear it. And they would only be through your grace, God, that people would know that we are whole. And I pray these things in Jesus' name.
You just spend some time just seeking after God. We're going to have a couple prayer teams up here. If you want to come up and you want prayer, Beth and Daryl are going to be a team, and you also have Jeremy and Lisa. They're great people as a team. They love God and they want to see His will be done here. And if I enjoyed hearing the message from Beth, it was inspiring and good, and look forward to great things from her and Daryl as well. And so I'll just close us here with a quick little prayer and let you know you're more than welcome to just soak, do whatever you want, hang out. But August 16th, I believe, is the day, is our next center line. And John Chapman will be our speaker, and you should come. It'll be another great time. And we believe as you leave tonight, you walk through the threshold of the doors, you know, you're going to take something with you. And you're going to be better, and you're going to know God better and His will for you. So, Father God, we just thank you for who you are. God, we just pray right now that, God, that you just continue to show us who you are, God, and the things you have for us. God, may you continue to go with us this week, God. Show us your face. God, give us the blinders for you and that line, God, that you have for us, God, as we walk daily. God, shape our lives, God. We thank you, God, for everything you're doing, God. We just pray for, God, just for abundant favor in everyone's lives. God, we just pray for finances, God. God, you've called us to be priests and kings. God, we just received that tonight. We just thank you for everything you're doing, God. In Jesus' name we pray.